Hey, it's Greg Stanley. As a new aspect of my automotive passion and hobby, I am a car specialist consultant for RM Sotheby's. If you need assistance consigning a collector car at Amelia Island, Pebble Beach, Auburn, West Palm, or Hershey, email me directly at gstanley@rmsotheby's.com.
This is the Collector Car Podcast, the home for the auto enthusiast. Join Greg Stanley as he applies over 25 years of insights and analytical experience to the collector car market. He will interview the experts and throw in some fun stuff as well.
Hey, all, it's Greg Stanley. Thanks for joining me this week. This week, I'm trying to put together a list of all the performance brands. Not all. I'm going to do my best to capture as many as I can. But where they come from. So sometimes you'll like say, hey, a Corvette ZR1. What the heck does ZR1 mean? Is it an acronym for something? I don't know. So I thought this is kind of like the Encyclopedia Brown of performance brands for automobiles. So there's a lot of stuff going on. If you haven't checked out my Instagram page, my Instagram feed or my website, thecollectorcarpodcast.com, please do. I try to keep a couple cool pictures posted out there throughout the week. I'm seeing a lot of really, really cool stuff as a consultant from RM Sotheby's. And so I like to share what I can. Obviously, I can't if it's a potential client. But if there's some other cool stuff that's out and about on my travels, I will definitely share that. So this is actually in alphabetical order. So I think we're going to end on Volvo. So I apologize for that. Not because there's anything wrong with Volvos, but you know, you don't think performance brands. You normally think of Volvos first. So let's start with Alfa Romeo. So they have their, and I apologize because my Italian accent is absolutely horrendous, as with all my other accents I ever try. But their performance brand is the Quadrifoglio. Quadrifoglio? I can't say it. But anyways, it starts with a Q and ends with an O. And it's Italian for four-leaf clover. Now, this first appeared in 1923 in one of their race cars. And if I remember the story correctly, they painted on a white triangle with a four-leaf clover for good luck, and then they didn't finish the race. And I believe the driver's nickname was something crazy like always second. You know, he never won. He was always in second. And then I even believe maybe two races later, he actually passed away by being killed in a car accident. So not the best way to start a performance brand, but it's still around today, and it looks pretty cool on their cars. The next one is Aston Martin. Now, one I didn't realize, they have a Q division. So obviously that's named after Q from James Bond. And this one I included, it's mostly for custom-built coachwork. And, you know, if you want to spend some type of crazy amount of money on a Aston Martin, $3 or $4 million, you'll have it pretty much tailor-made to whatever you want based on this division, the Q division. But apparently they can also do performance stuff. So that's kind of cool. Super Leggera. That's not just for Aston Martin. That's also for some other English brands as well as Italian brands. But Super Leggera, when you see that, that actually means it's based on, it's lightweight is basically what it means. And the first time it appeared, I believe, was on Aston Martin. And it was based on the use of duraluminum, kind of like aluminum, but lighter maybe. And it was a material that originated in the Zeppelin industry prior to World War I. So when you see super Leggera, that means super light. All right, now we're moving to Audi. This is really nice and simple. If you see an Audi S, that means sport model, so a little bit more horsepower. If you see RS, that means Rennsport. And I apologize. Actually, my notes cut off here. But Rennsport, I think that means racing sport, something like that. So correct me if I am wrong. Now, the big one, obviously, is BMW. Their M series of cars, so that could be a BMW M3 for the 3 series, and M4, and M2, and M5. Now, that strictly means motorsports. It came from 1972 when their M division was created, BMW Motorsports, so the M is very simple for motorsports. The very first M-branded car was aptly named the 1978 BMW M1, which has become such an iconic car that when they came out with the 1 series and they had an M version, they didn't want to use the M1, which is more of the BMW quote-unquote supercar, so they call it the 1M, so it can get confusing. Now, what's after BMW? Let's look at Cadillac, the V series. So Cadillac, these things are crazy. They're awesome. The V series started when it won its class in the IMSA WeatherTech Championship in 2017. And it actually started before that. So this didn't give me an actual reason why it's V, like it doesn't mean vector or anything like that. But that is their performance division, and they are super, really cool cars. I always loved the two-door coupe version of the CTS V sedan. That was really, really nice. All right, now let's move to Chevrolet. Now, what I like about Chevrolet is, as you know, I'm a Ford person, but I really like a lot of cars, including Corvettes and Camaros. Chevrolet's, a lot of their stuff is based on what was in the past an abbreviation for an option package. So let's start with this one. So the first one is a 1LE. You can buy a Chevy Camaro 1LE today, which basically means it's stick shift in either a V6 or a V8. But it started in the third generation. So this was like 1988. They wanted to make the Camaro more competitive in the showroom stock road racing series. So it was an option in the catalog. So you would select 1LE as the option package you wanted for your car. Now, there were only four examples known to have been built in 1988, super rare car, and 111 were built in 1989. Now, this had continued into the fourth generation, and they brought it back recently. So when you see the Camaro 1LE, it actually harkens back to this package you could get when you bought your car new. Now, the next one isn't so much, something you would pick off in the catalog. It's the RS and SS. This thing started in the 60s with the first generation of Camaros. RS meant Rally Sport. The Rally Sport was basically nothing to do with performance. It was all due to look. So they added the flip-up headlights or the covers or whatever you call it and a couple other adornments that didn't have anything to do with performance. Now, you could also get the Super Sport, which that one was performance-oriented, so that had some options like a bigger engine or more horsepower, four-speed, stiffer brakes, or stiffer suspension, stronger brakes. And ironically, on a Camaro, you could get an SS by itself, you could get an RS by itself, or you can get an RSSS and have both packages on the same car because they didn't really conflict with each other. They were totally separate. Now, continuing on with Chevrolet, I apologize, I have quite a few Chevy ones here, but they have some pretty cool stuff. The LT1, I was introduced to the LT1 in the early 70s with the Corvette, and it actually came out in 1970 and as an option. So this is pretty much a high-performance V8 engine that was built just for the Corvette. Now, when I'll talk about the Mustangs in a little bit when I talk about the K-Code Hypo. But this, for the Corvette, it was a 350 cubic inch 5.7-liter V8. That had 370 horsepower. So these have really begun to appreciate recently. 0 to 60 time was less than 60 seconds, which was really, honestly, insane in 1970. I mean, even going back to the big Hemi 426 engines of 1968, 69 or so, those were around the same acceleration times, and those were big blocks and much more horsepower. This is a small block. So it's pretty insane that they had these 0 to 60 times back in 1970. Now, the next one I'll mention is the Copo Camaro. Copo, this was started in 1969. This kind of goes hand in hand with the ZL1, but Copo stands for, let's make sure I get this correct here, Central Office Production Orders. So this is when you wanted to buy a Camaro at the dealership and you wanted something that wasn't on the quote-unquote menu. So you could make it a Copo Camaro, meaning that it was kind of, I don't know if it was an extra form or an extra sheet, but you can fill it out and get something that was truly special, truly unique. And a lot of times this was the 427 big block engine that was put into those Camaros. Don Yanko had tremendous success by taking Copo Camaros, putting in the 427 engine, making it his own brand, kind of like Carroll Shelby with the Mustangs, but a little bit more under the radar because he was actually a dealership that did that. So that was pretty cool. Now, hand in hand with this, let's go on to the Z06. So the Z06, now this is for Corvettes, and this got started early. This was like 1963, C2, second generation Corvette. This was a racing package that was designed back in the day. So it was same thing I mentioned earlier. It was a 327 small block engine with high horsepower. A lot of other modifications to make it quite the screamer on the racetrack. And this continues until today. So you can buy the Z06 Corvette now, but it actually goes back to a package option in 1963 that was identified in the catalog as a Z06. So a lot of these things from Chevrolet, as I mentioned before, they were just options, and that was the abbreviation for the option list that now is a performance brand for Chevrolet. So the next one is the Z28. Now, this was more of something that they designed as an exterior package. It was performance. It was for the Trans Am series. 1969 is when they hit it big. High compression, 302 cubic inch V8, which is kind of funny. That was the limitation. I believe the cubic inch displacement limitation for the Trans Am series. That's why their number one competitor was the Boss Ford Mustang Boss 302. So they were both 302 engines, and they went against each other, rated around 290 horsepower. So high revving V8 engines, four-speed cars. That was the Z28 package for the Camaro, which I don't know if that continues to today or not, but it did continue into the 80s and the 90s. Now the next one is a ZL1. This one does happen today. This is an option you can buy in your new Camaro. And it's, again, a big block, not a big block today, but very high horsepower Camaro. But it was based on a 427 ZL1 engine. It was, the engine was actually called the ZL1 engine. And again, it was ordered through the COPO, Central Office Production Order, special order system. And it was a one-off. So this is something that took or got its roots in the 1960s. And it was just a performance package option back then. And now it's its own performance brand, which is really cool. Now, I can't talk about Chevrolets without talking about the ZR1s. The ZR1s are the pinnacle of Corvette performance. We don't have one now with the new C8, but we did have one with the C7s that was insane. I forgot. It was something like 700 horsepower. So it was, again, an equipment group back in the early C2 generation of Corvettes. And let's see, it specified a 5.7-liter LT1 V8 engine. Let's see what else. Heavy-duty four-speed transmission, more powerful brakes, an aluminum radiator, upgraded suspension with improved spring shocks, and anti-roll bars. So that was pretty cool, and those are worth a lot of money right now. Now, one thing I didn't realize when I researched this, there was actually a ZR2 option back in the 60s. So the ZR1 started in the 60s, became around again in the 90s, and has remained with us since. So we will have a ZR1 C8 version here in the next few years. But there was a ZR2 option back in the 60s that has never again materialized. Now, why is that? Well, one reason is really easy here. The ZR2 actually had the more powerful LS6 V8 engine. Now, these are really rare. I think they only did like, 30 or so. So if the ZR1 was the lesser engine in the 60s, today it is the highest performance engine. Where do you go with the ZR2? So there's no place to go for the ZR2. So it probably will never exist as we know it. So it's cool to know that there was another performance, a higher performance option back in the 60s that was above the ZR1 that has never found its place in today's world. So that's enough with Chevrolets, Camaros, and Corvettes. Let's move on to Dodge and Jeeps. This is really easy, and this also goes for Chryslers. The SRT brand, this one's really simple. The SRT brand basically means, oh, this is so funny. I don't see it in my notes. What does it mean? I'll have to Google this and find out. Anyways, I think it's pretty much sport, road, and track, maybe? Anyways, correct me if I'm wrong, but SRT basically is the high horsepower version. You have the SRT Dodge Challenger that has the Demon that has like 840 horsepower, which is truly insane. So now we'll move to Ferrari Scuderia. I think my Italian's actually decent on that. So Scuderia basically is for their high hardcore performance models. Typically, it's on the 458s, the 460s, the 488s, and it's really meant to take the road model and amp it up quite a bit to where it's really only meant for racing. I mean, you can buy it for the street, but it's such a rough ride. I've heard people just really don't enjoy it, but it's really, really made for the racetrack. Now, Scuderia is Italian for a stable reserved for racing horses. So that makes total sense. And I believe Ferrari's team, before Ferrari was Ferrari, back in the 20s, late 20s, was actually called Scuderia. Now, one of the iconic ones is GTO, Ferrari GTO. That stands for Gran Turismo Omologato. Sorry for my Italian again. But it's Italian for Grand Touring Homologated. So basically that means that these cars had been homologated for racing. So they, in the back in the day, you had to have 50 or so, quote-unquote, street cars that you made, and then that would feed into the race version of the car. So GTO, the most iconic Ferrari ever made. They only made, I think, 36 of them. They're worth $50 to $70 million now. You also know of the Pontiac GTO, which was kind of ripped off the GTO name from Ferrari. Not as high performance, but still really, really cool cars. Now, there's a lot of Ferraris I could probably go into here, but I'm going to keep it pretty simple. The next one I'll mention, and this is one that you can buy today or within the last year or two, is the TDF. So the Ferrari TDF, that actually means Tour de France. Now, that's a track-focused version of the F12 Berlinetta that came out, I believe, in the fall of 2015. So the name pays homage to the Tour de France automobile race held between 1899 and 1986, which was regularly won by the Ferrari 250, which won it between 1956 and 1964. So they still have that package available, or that brand available, today. All right, now we're going to move to Ford. I'm just going to rattle off a bunch here because there's a little difference. So Chevy has all these brands based on old package designations. Ford just kind of made stuff up, which is fine. So let's see. Let's start in the 60s with the Mustang and the Shelby, the Ford Shelby Mustang. You had the GT350, which legendarily apparently was the number of feet between two different buildings in Shelby's world, Carroll Shelby's world. And then you had the GT500. I think they just took the 350 and made it into the next level up. You have the GT350Rs, which means racing. So in the original 1965 GT350s, if you look at the VIN number, they either end, I think it's the second letter, was either an S or an R. If it was an S, it was meant for the street. If it was an R, it was meant for racing. So you never see GT350 on the rocker panels. You never see GT350S or GT350R, but it is in the serial number. So those have become iconic. The GT350 street cars with an original engine are about $400,000. The R models are about $1 million. And I don't know, 2 weeks ago at Mecum Indianapolis, we just saw the most famous one, the first one, sell for almost $4 million. Now, sticking with the Mustang roots, they also had the GT version. Now, that's just a Grand Tour. Now, that was basically where you had luxury with performance. So on the original GT Mustangs, it had to be an A code or a K code, a four-barrel V8, 289 V8, or had to be four-barrel 289 HiPo engine that I mentioned earlier. But then along with that, to be a GT, you had to have the fog lights, you had to have the extra little badgings and adornments, the rocker stripe, the dual exhaust with the trumpets out the back. So it was a appearance package as well as a performance package, which is pretty cool. Now, continuing on with Shelby's, so the GT350, when it got a big V8, it turned into the GT500 in 1967. And then 1968, we had the GT500 King of the Road, which is also GT500KR. Basically, the GT500 exists today. We haven't had a King of the Road in a long time. And then when you go into the 69, 70, and 71 models, you have the Boss 302, Boss 351, and Boss 429. Those are all based on cubic inches. So the 429 was the big block, while the 302 and the 351 were small blocks. As I mentioned before, the Boss 302 raced in the Trans Am series against the Camaro Z28. And when I think it was Larry Shinoda was asked, how did you come up with the word Boss? It was just something that all the cool kids were saying at the time. So they said, hey, let's just make that a type of Mustang. Now, the other ones of the time, I would mention the Mach 1. Obviously, that has reference to Mach speed, Mach 1, jets, the jet age, which was coming into its own at that time. And then if we move into the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we have the basic Cobra, the Cobra R, which basically was taking kind of quote-unquote racing version of the Cobra, at least for the Fox body Mustangs. And then we also had the SVO, which was 84 to 86. That's special vehicle operations, I believe. Special one-off, four-cylinder turbo Mustang. And then it's a little confusing because at that same time, you might see the branding of SVT on the Cobras, and that's for special vehicle team. That was the division within Ford that came up with all these cool cars. Now, all of those apparently today fall under the umbrella of Ford Performance. So it's a little confusing, but you can still go to any of your local Ford dealerships and find a Shelby of some sort or a GT Mustang, even a Mach 1. Mach 1s are coming out next year, which is pretty cool. All right, that's a lot of talking about Fords. Let's move on to the next one. Hyundai, their performance brand is N, which was launched in South Korea in 2015. The N comes from the automaker's hometown, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, and the ever-popular Nürburgring. So you could take it either way. Now, Jaguar has the SVR, or simply the R models. R is for racing. SVR is for special vehicle racing. Lamborghini has SV, which is super veloce. That means super fast. Or SVJ. Now, this is interesting because I did not know this. So SVJ means super veloce. Jolta. Now, where does Jolta come from? J-O-T-A. Well, apparently that's how you pronounce the letter J in Italian. But where did that come from? Well, when they were looking at what they could do to increase the performance of their cars, they looked at the FIA rulebook. Now, this is like in the late 1960s. And they had to go to Appendix J to find out how to super up their cars appropriately to still be within the qualifying rules of the FIA, which they never raced. So I don't know why it even mattered. But that's where the J comes from in SVJ. Now, Lexus has the F brand, and F stands for flagship and or Japan's Fuji Speedway. So that's fairly simple. Now, Mercedes has their iconic AMG brand. That's where they have the high-performance Mercedes with big V8 engines, tremendous horsepower, great-looking cars. And this was actually named after the founders of AMG. I will not try to pronounce their names. Hans, his last name started with A. And Erhard, his last name started with an M. That's the A and the M. And the G refers to Hans's birth town that started with a G. So that's where AMG comes from. Now, you also see the AMG Black Series, which basically that's taking the AMG supercar to the next level. That could be additional body panels, extra performance, all sorts of cool stuff. Very rare, very cool cars. All right, now let's move to Mini. So Mini only has, I guess, one brand here. I guess they all have only one brand. But this is the John Cooper's Works model. So it's the souped-up version. And basically, John Cooper was responsible for moving Formula One race car engines from the front to the rear. And he also brought his expertise to the original Mini, which is why they drove so incredibly well. So Mini Coopers went on to win multiple rally championships in the mid-1960s, setting a template for nimble handling that remains a hallmark of the company today. Now, if you put an old Mini against the new Mini, it almost looks twice as big, which is kind of crazy. And let's move on. We only have like six more left here. So Nissan, their performance brand is Nismo, which is taken out of Nissan, NIS, Motorsports International, MO. Nissan Motorsports International is a performance brand with an obvious connection to the world of racing. It was established in 1984. Nismo is still quite active in high-level competition, and they've even come out with a Nismo, I think it's the 370Z. You can actually get a Nismo package. You can buy all sorts of Nismo aftermarket parts. It's like a whole division of Nissan. Now, Prius, this is kind of laughable. They're coming out with one, but this is the name, which doesn't sound that cool to me. So it's the Prius PHV GT Sport. So I don't know what any of those letters mean. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, Subaru has the STI and the WRX. So WRX, I cannot find out. It basically means World Rally Championship, but it didn't really quantify the X, you know. And so that was a model that came out. And then to ramp that up to the next level, you would make it the STI version, which stands for Subaru Technica International. So if you have a WRX STI, that is the top performance model for a Subaru. Tesla, I couldn't really figure out. I know their top performance is the Model S P100D, where they have the ludicrous mode, where you can make it like 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds. Truly insane. But I couldn't find out why they came up with the P100D. I believe the 100 is like the extra 100 kilowatts of power, possibly. All right, two more. So Toyota TRD stands for Toyota Racing Development. This is pretty cool. It started out as a tuner parts business in 1979, but it's become very involved in motorsports, taking home the trophy in such races as the Fuji Supertech 24 Hours, the World Challenge Cup, and, of course, Le Mans. So it was founded, let's see, so that can even be found on their sport utes. So if you could get, you can actually get a TRD FJ, you could get the new Toyota 4Runner with a TRD package. Just basically gives it cool wheels, cool graphics. I don't think it gives any more horsepower, but gives you some cool stuff so you can really go off-road in style. And the last one, as I said, is the Volvo Polestar. So it's not the best name, but this was founded in 1996. It was simply Polestar back then, which a performance brand that belonged to Polestar Automotive USA. So I think they made parts that you could put on the Volvo and soup it up. But then it was purchased by Volvo in 2007. So you can have a Volvo Polestar, and they have a cool blue color as they're kind of like on their logo, and get a souped up Volvo. So thank you for your time this week. Please stay tuned. We are going to have Donald Osborne from the Audrain Museum, I think, in 2 weeks. Next week, we'll have an RM specialist talk about the Shift Monterey auction that's coming up, which is really cool because there's some high-dollar cars there, and there's a big transition from the live auction to an online auction. So we'll learn a little bit more about that as well as their passion for cars. So as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate all you listeners out there. And feel free to shoot me a note just to say hi, to tell me what your favorite car is, or to give me an idea for a future episode at gstanley@rmsotheby's.com. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Collector Car Podcast. Don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes and be sure to follow us on Instagram and everywhere else at the Collector Car Podcast.